You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 18th of March 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Once again, we've reached the end of another week and you are either listening in your lunch hour or on your way home from work, and I know why you're here, because you want to hear from our special guest today, my good friend Grandpa Dan from Texas. Grandpa, how are you doing? What's life like for you over there?
Oh, well, things are great. I tell you what, I'm really white pills, man. I'm feeling good. Of course, you know, the big topic continues to be the, you know, this whole Ukrainian mess and everything. And there's black pillars out there that are like, you know, oh, this could be really bad if this conflict expands and directly involves the West. But see, what these black pillars forget is that we have the ultimate secret weapon. We have the ultimate strength that nobody can compare to, which is, of course, the diversity. We have more diversity, which means we're the strongest, which means we have absolutely nothing to worry about. And while we're not going to talk about Ukraine today, we are going to talk about the diversity.
Well, we certainly are. And talking about diversity being a great strength, our favorite tranny, Leah Thomas, has just won another competition. Leah Thomas, 22, blows away competition to win 500-yard freestyle at NCAA Championships. But crowd goes wild for second-place winner on the podium. Very sad. That's not very nice of the crowd not to cheer the winner. Leah Thomas says she ignores criticism in post-victory interview, and it is quite entertaining to watch. I mean, she just flies along, leaving all her competition in the dust. Diversity is definitely a strength for Leah Thomas, and as she pointed out, the fact that she used to be a male has not affected her ability to swim, which is, that's great, isn't it, when we hear that these trannies are still able to do the things that they used to do before they transitioned. I mean, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Diversity is such a great strength. And today we're going to be talking about a study on diversity being such a great strength. According to a recent report published by Bank of America Global Research, a lack of diversity within American companies comes with a hefty price tag. Is it $70 trillion in foregone economic output, or $23 trillion in US dollars gross domestic product, or $172 trillion in lifetime earnings? No matter how you measure it, lack of diversity, equity, and inclusion limits national economies and reduces GDP, the report reads. For companies, Bank of America said that a lack of diversity leads to less innovation, weaker revenue and cash flows, and lower employee retention. As for individuals, a lack of diversity causes detriments to educational outcomes, physical and mental health, lifetime achievement and earnings, and wealth passed down across generations. And I think just trying to boil that down to what they're actually saying here is that if all the people that are not employed at the moment that are from minority groups were employed, then there would be more money in the economy. And I mean, you don't have to be a genius to work that out, but that doesn't actually mean that it's the diversity itself that earns that money. I mean, that is a correlation, not the causation. Because the problem here with this is that they're basically saying that it's diversity that is earning all this money, but that is not what's actually earning all the money, as we will see. And what they're pointing out here is that there'd be more gross domestic product, there'd be more money in the economy if there was more diversity that was employed. But most of the time, the reason why it's not employed is because it's not qualified to be employed. And of course, that's what they're trying to do away with here is qualifications and just employ people because of what race they are or who they happen to sleep with. Grandpa, what do you make of all this money that the country is losing by not having enough diversity?
Well, I'd just like to say we here at Radio Albion, we're not among the haters. We applaud Leah's swimming records. We're definitely on board. We're giving a round of applause here at Radio Albion. This whole story, this whole gobbledygook here, it really is really reminiscent. I know we were kind of talking about it before we started the show. It's really reminiscent of remember when they were saying that Merkel in Germany was saying that the migrants are going to pay the pensions. We're going to bring these people in from sub-Saharan Africa and the Middle East, and they're going to pay the pensions. It's going to save the economy. It's going to be an economic boom. But of course, we're not supposed to really pay attention to how that's actually turned out. The way I've always presented is that, you know, I don't claim to be an expert on things, but I'm pretty good at common sense. I have a pretty good grounded view of the world around me, and I can look at things, and I'm aware of the past and the history. Now, when they talk about diversity, we all know what that means. Fewer regular old straight white males. That's what it means. If you have less white males, so they talk about diversity. What they mean is if you have fewer straight white men, then things are better. You're going to have more productivity. That is what they're claiming. In the trillions of dollars, tens of trillions of dollars of more productivity, and things will be better if you have fewer regular white men. Now, here in America, we look back, and you know, it's hard to argue that probably the biggest boom time in America was the 1950s going into the 1960s, because all our industrial competition in the world had been destroyed in World War II. We were the only game on the planet that could produce things that had functioning factories that hadn't been destroyed. And you saw this great boom. Now, how was that possible since everything was being run, organized, and whatnot by regular white men? Now, you fast forward to today and everything, you know, we have this huge push for diversity, and I'm not really feeling a boom here. I don't really see it happening. So you look at the actual results, and it's hard to understand how they're even trying to make this argument that if you have few regular white men actually doing things, then that equals somehow things are going to be better and you're going to have a better booming economy. All you have to do is look at things like for instance, here in the U.S., the Postal Service. You know, there is a bastion of diversity in the U.S. Postal Service. Well, as long as you kept a certain amount of normal white men and perhaps Asians involved in it, it managed to function. It manages to function okay. And of course, the lower that amount of regular white men or Asians working on it, the less it works. Well, now we're at the position where the post office is almost entirely diversity. And honestly, half the time it seems like you're lucky. If your stuff may show up in 2 days. Your stuff may show up like a month later in an envelope all chewed up or something. You know, so the observable reality is that the diversity doesn't seem to really translate into gains. It seems to translate into a situation to where if you have more people of African heritage running an institution, then you wind up with Africa-like results. I guess this is shocking to some people, but it isn't really shocking to us.
Well, that's it, isn't it? All you really have to do is look at these countries which have a diversity of over 95%. And you would think if what the Bank of America is saying is true, that these countries would be the great powerhouses of the world. And they should be, because there's lots of resources in places like Africa and places like Brazil that are extremely diverse, 95, 99% diverse. And yet they're in the third world. They aren't actually making the good use of the resources that they could be. Well, it says here that diversity, equity and inclusion, which is, of course, DEI, an anagram of DEI, DEI needs to be a strategic priority across a company with leadership buy-in and participation. Bank of America head of ESG for global fixed income, KC Hope, told Yahoo Finance. There are a lot of things that US companies can do to improve. Recruiting from a wider range of institutions and sources, reviewing pay and promotion practices, and using mentoring initiatives. And let's break this down. What do they really mean here? Recruiting from a wider range of institutions and sources means accepting people with lower qualifications. Reviewing pay and promotion practices means increasing the pay for people that aren't that actually that productive, just because otherwise you won't have enough minorities that are getting a high pay. Looking at the promotion practices, again, it means promoting people that don't actually have the qualifications, but they do have the diversity points, and using mentoring initiatives. Well, if you are employing people that know what they're doing, then you're not actually going to need to be mentoring them. I mean, it is all back to front here. They're not actually talking about how they can improve money for the company, improve wealth for the company. They're talking about how they can improve wealth for communities that don't do that well with qualifications. I mean, that's what it really boils down to here. And of course, they also like to bring women into this and claim that women are somehow going to massively improve a company. But because of the way men and women are created, women distract the men, basically, and they can't do the physical work that the men can do. And I guess they're talking about companies here, and women are more sociable than men. They're good in these social roles. They're good putting them out front. But when you put them in there as directors, there are rather a lot of companies that have put women up front as directors that have then failed. In fact, I think there was one recently that was a poster child for Arab women who have been made into a director, and the company has now failed. What do you make of their recommendations here, Grandpa, for improving U.S. companies?
Well, as far as women goes, we've already kind of touched on, there is an out here, you see, because when you take the tranny pill, you realize that you can have women that might actually manage to be competent. I don't understand what they talk about how this need to be a strategic priority. It hasn't been already. I mean, anti-white, which is what they're talking about when they talk about this diversity thing. They're talking about anti-white and particularly anti-white male. I thought that was already. You mean it hasn't been a priority yet? We need to double down. We need to double down on more anti-whiteism. That way we can get more benefits and profit. And they talk about mentoring. They said, you know, we need to have this mentoring. And you touched on that. And I'd pose the question, who's going to do the mentoring? Because wouldn't that be like exerting white privilege if you bring these people in and recruit these people? And then you're going to mentor them. Who is going to mentor them? Because if it's the competent people that were running things before, that means white males. And that means you're going to be exerting white male privilege. You can't have that. So you can't have mentoring. Of course, this is just, you know, typical gibberish, you know, from the establishment, from the West. You know, this is all. Nobody thinks that more diversity is going to make things more productive. It just takes common sense to look around the world and see that that's not what happens. But of course, we've come out with something with a veil of the science, with a veil of authority to tell us that the opposite of what you view, the opposite of reality, is what's true. And it is this whole, you know, we see this in the world around us. We're in the West, and we were kind of talking about this beforehand, but in the West, there's this situation where you have all of these people in government and in business and actually in charge of things that seem to have this mindset that if they put out a study, if they just put out these words, that they can somehow create a new reality. Like, if we just keep saying these things, then that makes it true. If we keep saying that more diversity is going to bring trillions of dollars in profit because study, then the reality will warp itself around the words we've generated, the words we say, the reality, this fake reality we've created for ourselves. And of course, it doesn't work that way. We know it doesn't work that way. It never has worked that way. It's not going to work that way now. You're going to get more diversity. And like I say, you can cover it up for a while because there's a breaking point and you can bring in more diversity. It just means more work for the white guys that are left at that company. They just have to work harder, but they're able to keep things functioning. But as you reach that tipping point, all of a sudden it breaks and then nothing works anymore. And then the company predictably fails, which I don't know. Maybe it's a good thing. I don't know.
Well, mentoring could alternatively be referred to as mansplaining, which I'm sure it would be if it was the competent white males that were doing the mentoring. Hope also cited more inclusive benefits, such as parental leave policies, insurance coverage, and flexible working allowances as being steps towards more effective DEI in the workplace. Again, how is parental leave policies going to improve things at the company. It's, if you've got these essential, diverse people working there that are so essential to the company, you're not really going to want them on leave, are they? You're not really going to want to give them extra leave. I think this is one of the reasons why people are loath to employ women in the first place, is because they know that they very likely may well get pregnant and need to take a couple of years off. And all that investment in teaching them how to do the job is going to be wasted. And they say insurance coverage here. And how does that help? I guess health insurance for when people get ill, again, so they're not working at the company. Flexible working allowances. So it means that the company bending over to do, or bending itself to fit around the employee, when really it should be the employee bending themselves around to fit with the company. I don't see how any of these things are actually going to improve the situation for the company. Can you see any improvement there, Grandpa, from parental leave policies? How's that going to improve the money for a company?
I can. I can educate you on this. I'm sitting here just ready to go, ready to go, ready. I got my mic unmuted, ready to go. It improves the productivity of the company because the women aren't there. You see, if the women are off on parental leave, they can't screw things up. So the company will be more productive because the women aren't there, because generally women in the company, you know, everybody knows what I'm talking about. Nobody wants to say it because it's considered rude, politically incorrect. Women spend their time in the office generating some form of bullshit drama. That's what they do. They spend their time generating drama and basically trying to get the men there to do the work for them so that they can take credit for it. That's how women in the workplace generally spend all of their time, generating drama and convincing men to do the work for them so that they can then take credit for it. If they're off on parental leave, they're not there doing that, and everybody can get more work done, Sven.
I get it. I do. I really do. Continuing with what Hope has to say here, she says, and incorporating diversity into planning would help. Don't plan major events on key holidays. That includes Eid al-Fitr, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and others, not just Christmas and Easter, she added. So again, she wants more holidays, which I guess would fit in with what you were saying there, Grandpa, about how when the diversity goes away on holiday, the productivity improves in the workplace. So when you think about it, they have done studies into diversity that have shown that diversity for diversity's sake does not improve things in any way. And it's just common sense that it wouldn't do. I mean, why would it improve things to have people from different cultures there, different ways of thinking, different languages? I mean, that's really not going to help things. But if you do have people that all have the same intellectual capacity and they do all have the same qualifications and they're all just as competent as one another, then if you have diversity, that can be an improvement, because, of course, it would be. More heads are better than one. But when you just have diversity for diversity's sake and you're just employing people because they come from a different minority group, then that is just a recipe for disaster. Well, what do you think about their plan here for the holidays, Grandpa?
Well, I had to laugh because they had to put those Jewish holidays in there. And it's like, you know, they're overrepresentative as far as like the most wealthiest group in the country. It's like they're the minority, but, you know, statistically, they're like the wealthiest group. So the odds are the CEO of the company is quite likely to be Jewish. The board of directors is probably going to have an overrepresentation of Jewish people on it. I don't think those type of people, the wealthy people at the very, very top running the company, because they're not talking about putting, like, you know, sub-Saharan Africans in charge of running the country. The company. They're talking about, you know, middle management and things down here. I'm pretty sure those people don't have to wait around for an official holiday. It's like, well, I'd really like to take off, but it's not an official holiday because our Jewish holidays aren't being recognized. It's just silly. All of this, you know, they put these things in the form of, you know, they try to use words that sound like, oh, this is some sort of real thing, but it's just a gibberish study. It flies in the face of common sense. And we all know this isn't grounded in any sort of reality.
Well, a CFA Institute defines diversity as the spectrum of human attributes, perspectives, identities, and backgrounds, whilst inclusion is a dynamic state of operating in which any individual or group can be and feel respected, valued, safe, and fully engaged. I mean, it makes it seem like it's a game. You know, everybody's got to be able to take part regardless of their ability. But again, how is that going to improve productivity? What is it having the whole spectrum of human attributes going to do for your productivity? I mean, you got human attributes such as not being very good at things, not being able to read and write, being mentally retarded, being physically disabled. I mean, how is that going to help you in your work? Surely you want people that are going to be the best at what they're doing. That's the human attribute that you want in your company. You want somebody that is very good at what they're doing. You want people that are at the top of their game. You don't want to be employing people because they're actually no good at the job. But that is pretty much what it is saying here. And this inclusion thing, you've got to make everybody feel respected, valued, safe, and fully engaged, even if they're not particularly engaged with the company and they're not interested in the company. And they're just there because they're getting paid. They're not doing very, very, very well at their work. I mean, if they're a minority, they can then complain and say they're being discriminated against on a minority status. And this is another issue that you have with these companies. Once they do employ the diversity, they know that if the diversity doesn't turn out to be that good at the job, they're stuck with them. You know, they can't get rid of them because they'll be accused of discriminating against them. Well, what do you make of the CFA Institute's diversity definitions here, Grandpa?
Well, it's a lot of gibberish to say not regular white man. You know, I mean, if you're a white guy and you profess your personal preference to do man-on-man anal sex, then yeah, maybe you're in. But otherwise, we know, just by looking at these things, that diversity means no regular no regular white guys. At the risk of sounding like a boomer, which I am not, by the way, some people wind up under this misconception, I'm a boomer, I'm a black-pilled Gen Xer. But at the risk of sounding like a boomer, I, as you were reading through this, fan, it really made me think about, this is kind of like an extenuation of, this whole thing we saw over the years of, like in the schools, everybody gets a ribbon regardless, the participation award, instead of, these kids in school, they ran a race and the winner gets an award, the second place gets an award, and third place gets an award. Then they went to this whole thing where everybody gets an award because everybody participated. That makes you all the winner. And yeah, it's like an extenuation of that now into the corporate world, into our society in general. Whether you contribute anything or not, you get an award. We're going to say that, you actually added value to the company, whether you actually did or not. And that's what we're saying. This is the corporate version of a participation trophy.
Well, of course, I don't want to knock these companies that do take on people that are disabled, and there are roles for people that aren't really that good at what they're actually doing. And it's nice for people to be able to take part in society. But to be saying that they need to be promoted up to directorships and they need to be put in these roles that you have to be very good at your job to actually be there, it's not going to help the company. And what we finally get to here is the study that they believe shows that diversity is such a strength. And it's quite incredible what they've actually done with this. The CFA Institute emphasized the importance of pursuing diversity in the workplace by pointing to a McKinsey and Co. study, which also supported the business case for inclusive corporate cultures. McKinsey found that companies in the top quartile of ethnic and cultural diversity outperformed those in the fourth by 36% in terms of profitability in 2019, up from 33% in 2017 and 35% in 2014. Companies with higher ethnic diversity are more likely to beat industry average financial returns. Greater acceptance of LGBTQ plus individuals is linked to gains in national wealth. Underemployment of the disabled has a knock-on effect for families, society, and GDP, the Bank of America's report reads. So what they've essentially done is they've looked at the biggest companies, the companies that earn the most money, and they've seen that the companies that earn the most money also have the most diversity there. But the reason why they have so much diversity there is because they got so much money in the first place. They can afford to take a loss. It's not causative. It's not the reason why they have made all this money in the first place is because they're diverse. It's because they have all that money that they can afford to be diverse. And this is the way that they manipulate these statistics and promote these ideas. And I think the reason why they're doing this, the Bank of America, is because if you get these smaller companies that then take their advice and take on people that aren't qualified simply because they've got the right skin color or they sleep with the right gender at night, the companies are going to end up failing. And these smaller companies are going to end up failing and the bigger companies are going to end up taking over. And exactly the same thing that we saw happening with COVID, with all these smaller companies being taken over. I think that is the motive for this, is centralizing all the wealth with these bigger companies. But that's the way that they've done it. They've just looked at these big companies that earn lots of money and said, oh, they're also diverse as well. That must be the reason why they did it. I mean, it's kind of like saying, well, all these big companies, they also have an hour-long lunch break. So it must be the hour-long lunch break that they take that has earned them all this money. You know, it's correlation. It's not causation. What do you make of what they say about this study here, Grandpa?
Well, exactly. I mean, you hit it right there. And you touched on it yourself. But I want to just reemphasize, you know, we're talking about this. We're not talking about, you know, people who are competent. I mean, there's no point. Look, if somebody is a black or Indian or does man on man anal, but they also are in a wheelchair, but they're also actually really competent at their job, we're not talking about that. And neither are these people. Okay. These people are talking about diversity for diversity's sake. They're not talking about, hey, this black man is very, very good at his job. He's one of the most competent sales guys we have. He is a go-getter. Everybody likes him. He's great at his job. That's not what they're talking about. And it's for sure not what we're talking about. If you're the best at your job, you should be promoted. Nobody thinks you shouldn't be promoted based on race, but that is exactly what they're promoting here. They're saying, well, if somebody is the right skin color, then or has the correct, you know, politically correct sexual orientation, they should be promoted on that basis. Now, imagine being in one of these groups, you know, whether you're talking about an ethnic minority or whatever the case may be, or disabled, whatever the case may be, and you are good at your job and you're trying to move up in the ranks. They're upping the competition for these people. These things always turn around to do the opposite of what they say. They say they're promoting diversity, but they're not. Because what this means, like if you're in a regular company that's a meritocracy, that's run as it should be, as a meritocracy, and you're a black man, for instance, and you're really good at your job, you've got the opportunity, and more than likely you will rise to the top because you're producing the results. Nobody's looking at your skin color. You're producing the results. You're making profit for the company. You're moving up. You're going to be the black man at the top, okay? You're just competing against the other people. And if you are better than they are, you are going to rise to the top. Now, what this does is now we flood this whole thing where we're just going to promote people based on skin color. Now you're that same black man. You're very good at your job, but you're not just competing against the other people doing your job. You're competing against these other people that are going to be promoted based on checking off the boxes. What is that? Because you might say, well, you're black. You still got the no, because you're a black man. You're the best at your job. But now you're over here and competing against somebody who's black and also a homosexual, also a member of this other community that gets top priority, gets a higher priority. So they're going to move up ahead. You have upped the competition for these people who are at the best at their job. Now they're having to compete against these other people because they're higher up on the victim side. They got more checks, more boxes checked off. So they've got a better opportunity of being promoted over you. And finally, this whole notion, look, greater acceptance of LGBTQ+ individuals is linked to gains in national wealth. Why don't they explain that to us? How does that have anything to do? They just throw that out there with their muddied statistics and say, this is reality. Okay, explain to us then, because they're using the veneer of science with this. Explain to us why that is. What is there some sort of magic that takes place if you have a man's penis shoved into your ass that makes you better at your job? So you see, this guy, he wasn't really good at his job, but see, now that they're doing man on man anal, they're got really good at their job. They don't tell us how does that reflect? Why does that make people better at their job? They just throw a bunch of statistics and say acceptance and inclusion. These are all rhetorical, emotion-based terms. They have nothing, there's nothing concrete. There's no there, as they say. They just put a bunch of emotionalism out there and these nice words like acceptance and promotion of LGBTQ plus. Tell us why then. If you're making the assertion, it should be on them. They're the ones making the assertion. They're asserting that LGBT plus things make the company more money, makes a better work environment. Why is that? Explain why that is, what type of sex somebody has at their home, hopefully at their home, how that translates into more money for the company. Pro tip, they can't explain it because the whole thing is gibberish. The whole thing is just, once again, a blatant promotion of this agenda.
Well, they've mixed it up with gross domestic product as well, because when they're talking about the greater acceptance of LGBTQ plus individuals, they say it's linked to gains in national wealth. And I mean, that might be because they have more disposable income, for instance, because they don't have children to pay for. But it's not just that. I mean, it's when they were earlier talking about diversity, they were saying it makes more wealth for the nation as well. And of course, for the bank, that's great for the bank. It just makes more money for the bank. But what they're basically talking about is spreading out the money from those that are capable of doing their job and giving it to those who are not capable of their job. It's just communism under another guise, basically. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.